We're glad that you are here with us this morning as we take a look at our inner, deep, true self. Before that, however, we are so wrapped up in our outer activities and who we think we are, we can tell you all kinds of details about this outer visible life, our name, where we live, where we were born, where we grew up, how we found Quimby Church, how we spend our days. And then we remember that every Sunday, as Lucy said, we hear the same message. There's one. And we say thanks to her and to John as we sing it. There's only one presence, one power in the universe. I'm in it and of it, and it's good. And then I heard a new song this morning. I'm going to live the life I sing about. Is that your song?
Mahalia Jackson's song.
Really? You realize that this describes the idea of one presence. Is really talking about our inner life. And we're not the only ones who are discovering that. It's been taught for thousands of years. It was actually lived by Jesus Christ. By now, you would think that everybody would live accepting this teaching that this inner invisible self is our actual life and that the outer visible self is actually formed and shaped by what we believe and think with feeling. The Old Testament book of Proverbs was compiled around 1000 BC. And this verse in your program, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." It's just the same for us today. You'll notice it's not "as a man thinks, so is he." It's "man, as a man thinks with feeling, so does he meet conditions and experiences." And 1000 years after that, Jesus Christ said, from your program, "I say unto you that ye resist not evil." You could even substitute the word "error." Resisting has two definitions, maybe more. It can be seen as bravery. In France, during the German occupation in World War II, the resistance was a guerrilla style of warfare that weakened the repression of the occupiers. On the human level, resistance can be seen, therefore, as a positive. However, Jesus showed us by his example that resisting the seeming power in the outer life is very It keeps us locked into this endless loop of, as a man thinketh in his heart, thinking with feeling, it keeps bringing those same conditions back. And all the while, our inner life is active, and it waits for us, for our passion, for our interest, our nurturing, to form these conditions and experiences that come to us. It's this inner life that's what Lucy and John wrote about and what we sing about. There's only one presence, one power. And then our mental, our ego says, well, what about the power of the Goliaths? Well, a couple of weeks ago, we looked in 1 Samuel that Goliath was 9 feet, over 9 feet tall, and over 95% of his body was covered in protective armor. And he had a sword. And he had a man go in front of him to protect him with a shield. 3,000 years ago, this was earthly power. And that same inner power was present and active. And it took a shepherd boy with no protective armor, with no shield or sword, to realize this inner presence and strength and be brave enough to meet Goliath. He had a steady hand. He was accurate. So that with one pebble, he found the one spot, the vulnerable spot, left open by the helmet. And it was in the forehead that pierced the brain, and the power of the presence of God was active in this young boy, and the giant was killed. And this is the same power that we have walking around with us, breathing us. Our earthly giants don't look like Goliath. And our spiritual inner power probably does not take the form of proficiency with a slingshot. Although it could if we needed it. One example of a 20th century Goliath is the one H.B. Jeffrey wrote about. We've looked at before. And it's a very good example to show us what we are doing to ourselves to keep these Goliaths alive. Jeffrey was a divine science minister, practitioner. He was active in the 30s and 40s. And he was known as a healer and an author of spiritual material. And a man came to Jeffrey, desperate, for Jeffrey to make the man's clients pay their bills. The man said he was the sole support of his family. The bills were coming due. He needed to pay them. And his clients were pleased with his work, his professional service, and yet they wouldn't pay him. And the man said the first of the month was coming. He needed the money. How could Jeffrey make these people pay him? And Jeffrey told him, you are the block. You are the reason that these people aren't paying you. And the man was shocked. And here is the part of the example that applies to us. Jesus told the man he was consumed with need. He thought about need every waking moment. He nurtured need. And that old statement from Proverbs, 3,000 years old, as a man thinketh with feeling, so is he. Need was the feeling. And this presence in us, we get to choose where we put our attention. And so when the man's attention was on need, this inner power responded with conditions and experiences just like this passionate feeling. Jeffrey told the man, banish the word need from your vocabulary. Never say or think or feel need again. Now, Jeffrey isn't in this book. It doesn't say what Jeffrey told him to replace this need with. Whatever it was must have been positive and constructive, because the man's clients paid him very soon after he dropped the word need. We saw it again with the grocer who was in England in the time before there were big supermarkets. So it probably was in the late 30s, middle 30s. And a grocer had a good business, supported his family. And one morning he came in to unlock his store. And there on the corner was construction with a big sign that a new supermarket was being built. And the man panicked. And he went to Emmett Fox and he said, I'm going to be ruined. What am I going to do? His feeling was negative. His feeling was fear. And Fox knew that in order to harmonize the situation, his feeling had to be changed. But in the face of the Goliath, it's easy to say, but then how do you actually do it? And so Fox told him, every morning when you come in and every night when you lock the door, look at that space and bless it. And the man said, I can't do it. It's my competitor. It's going to put me out of business. Fox said, that's the only way. You have to bless it. And the man said, I'll try. And he did try. And the end is that the new grocery store thrived, and the small, selective grocery store kept its customers and expanded and did very well. They both were successful. Part of this blessing is a love. And it's very hard when we see negative behavior, or what in our opinion is negative, to love this person and this behavior. And so Nona Brooks, a co-founder of Divine Science, defines love as outstreaming goodwill. So the idea is, if you have this passion for going deeper than what you see, going deeper than the behavior, knowing that in this person there is still this same presence and power. And instead of outlining all the details of why you can't love this person, you can go and just love the essence, the foundation. Because all of God's good is equally in each one of us. And this brings us to the statement that Jesus made in Matthew in your program. Resist not evil. It's back to that same idea from Proverbs. As a man thinks with feeling, so do the conditions come into his life. So is he. So if you are resisting, that can be a powerful feeling. Notice it. Decide, like that man who was resisting the behavior of his clients, and he called it need. And need just flooded into him. When he changed the word and the feeling, need, and made it positive, whatever it was, love, divine love, a love that is not based on deserving or earning. It's there because we are all created as one, with everything equally possible. Different gifts, but they're all active and appropriate to where we are. We just take away with us knowing that everything in this outer world starts from within. And it's up to us to monitor what our inner dialogue is, and then we can choose. In summary, these laws are thousands of years old and just as fresh and life-changing today as when David met his Goliath. The outer world has the power in the way it looks. However, Jesus Christ knew the inner power, the power of spirit, that takes whatever form is timely, is appropriate. It's sight when there's a blind person. It's strength when there's a paralyzed person. It's food for the hungry 5,000. And the wonderful news is, we don't have to design it. We don't have to know what's best. However, we do have to be passionate about trusting, about taking our attention off the appearance and going within. Let us pray. Our loving Creator, we ask your help to be aware of our passionate feelings and to align them with your love and your will, whatever it is, with deep gratitude. So it is. Amen.